magazine some time ago invited dads to send in their answers to this question. What went through your mind when you first heard you were going to be a father? What were you thinking when you first got the news? And they got a lot of responses, dads writing in. One dad, when he first heard he was going to be a father, had this overwhelming sense of joy. "We thought we'd never be able to have a baby," he wrote. "Even now, every time I think about it, it brings a smile to my face and I think, woo-hoo, we did it." Another dad, when he got the news, was worried at first. A baby? How did this happen? Can we afford it? Can I fit the car seat in the back of my BMW? And then he wrote, "I started to realize what was really happening. That I was going to be a daddy." Well, the day our daughter was born was the proudest day of my life. Another dad wanted to shout yahoo when his wife told him the news, but since they had a house full of guests, and they decided to keep it to themselves, and keep it to themselves they did for the first 3 months. He said, "We did, however, sit a little closer than usual as we gathered with our friends that night." Still another wrote that his girlfriend was 17 and a senior in high school. He was 18 and working. "My first thought was that she was just totally messing with me," he wrote. "But then I realized she was serious, and this chill came over my whole body. We were horrified to tell our parents. Today we're happily married and we have 3 kids, he wrote. Another dad was excited at first, but then he remembered. He remembered that his wife would have to stay off the drug that kept her cancer in remission for 9 months minimum. And excitement turned into a sense of panic. He wondered, what will we do now? As I was reading this article, I couldn't help but thinking about Joseph. I wonder, what was going through Joseph's mind when he first learned that he was going to be a father? The 9 months of pregnancy allowed plenty of opportunity for fear and anxiety to take up residence in every expectant parent. But for Joseph, it was much more complicated. When the angel appears to Joseph in a dream, the first thing the angel says is, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And Joseph was filled with fear and anxiety. Once again this morning in the bulletin, we included some teaching notes for you to follow along and write things down. And as it indicates on the notes, at number one, it's very hard to be joyful with fear and anxiety. It's very hard to be joyful when you're filled with fear and when you're anxious. We all have fears. Fear and anxiety are mechanisms that can help us to survive. You know, if you didn't feel fear and you saw a lion over there and you just walked merrily by, in next to no time there would be no more you. God has given us fear and anxiety because God knew that we needed them. Otherwise, we would be fearless, but then we'd also be very stupid. And we would not be around very long. The problem is that often fear and anxiety get exaggerated in our lives. That's what happens to a lot of people during the holiday season. For many people, the holidays can be the most stressful time of the year. The shopping, the baking, the decorating, the family gatherings, the travel. All of these wonderful things, they can just create such anxiety in our lives. It's supposed to be the happiest season of all, but if you're grieving, or if you're struggling with illness, or if you're experiencing some heartache in your life like Joseph was, it is very hard to be joyful. Matthew's Christmas story is much briefer than Luke's, and it tells us the details plainly. Now, the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. You know, Matthew's account is interesting because through the entire story, Joseph never says a word. But Matthew invites us to listen in on what's going on inside of Joseph's mind and heart this whole time. And as he does, he shows us one of the big keys to finding joy. Joy that is more than just being happy. Joy that doesn't just show up when you've been good or when everything is right in your life. But the kind of joy that brings peace. Joy that is deep and wide. Joy that brings contentment to your heart. Whatever fears you might have today, or whatever you might be anxious about, let's listen to Joseph, where he shows us the path to joy. And he shows us that the path to joy is a path of connection. It's a path of being connected to God, and it's a path of being connected to the people around us. Amid his fears and anxieties, Joseph is connected. Matthew tells us that Mary's husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. A righteous man. A righteous man or woman is that person that lives a life that's close and connected. A life that's close and connected to God. As we read this story, it's evident that Joseph knows God, that he trusts God, that he's committed to God, that he's faithful to God. But being righteous also means having a close connection to others. Joseph is close and connected to Mary and to her family and to his family and to the whole community. He lives a close and connected life, close to God, close to others. And this is the key for him to find joy, even in the most troubling time. You see, Joseph shows us, first of all, that when you live a close and connected life, you have the assurance that no matter what, you are not alone. Joseph had made this heartbreaking choice to do what seemed best for Mary and her family, but then in his sleep, the angel showed up. Matthew says in verse 20, just when Joseph had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, reminding us that Joseph, that God is with Joseph. Now, perhaps God has spoken to some of you in your dreams. But even if that has never happened to you, when you live a life that's close and connected, you are aware that God is always with you. Many of you have gotten to know Richard Hayworth since he joined First Church a few years ago. Richard was here at the 8:15 service, and earlier he gave me permission to talk about him in church this morning. He's now 93. And not long ago, Betsy and I had the opportunity to visit with him. And he told us that he was writing his spiritual autobiography. He's been looking back over his life at all the experience he's had. And he said that he has realized that at every turn, God was there. God was there even when Richard was not aware of it. Now, as we think about Richard, we all know that if we were to look back over our lives, the good times, the bad times, those in-between, everyday times, if we were to look back, we would recognize through the eyes of faith that God has always been there. The angel told Joseph the baby's name will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. The angel doesn't say God was with us, as if the good news we celebrate at Christmas happened a long time ago and far away and is now just in the history books. And the angel doesn't say God will be with us, as if the presence of God is some future promise, but in the meantime, we're left here all by ourselves. The angel says, God is with us in every moment, with every breath, through every season of life. Even when we are not aware of God, God is with us. And when we live a close and connected life like Joseph did, you will find joy. Joy in the midst of whatever you're going through, because you know that you are not going through it alone. Secondly, Joseph shows us that when we live a life that is close and connected to God and to others, we find wisdom. We might say that we find the direction when we have difficult decisions to make. When he fell asleep that night, Joseph had resolved to do what seemed best to him with the information he had. He had planned to dismiss Mary quietly. But those who live close to God, they have an open posture. And they make decisions with humility, open to how God might be revealed in their relationship with God, or maybe in their relationships with other people. The angel says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. A close and connected life is open and receives guidance from God. In the last verse of Joy to the World, which we've been celebrating this Advent season on the 300th anniversary of Isaac Watts writing these words, in the last verse, Isaac Watts celebrates the reign of Jesus. He says, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and the wonders of his love. Jesus reigns with truth. Jesus reigns with grace. I think Isaac Watts must have been inspired by the great beginning, the prologue of John's Gospel in John chapter 1 and verse 14. And let's read this verse together. The Word became flesh and made his home among us. We have seen his glory, glory like that of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and full of He lived a both and life, not an either or life. Throughout his ministry, we see Jesus committed to both compassion for people and commitment to God's values. Grace. Jesus full of grace. Grace is compassion for people. Grace is being better to people than their actions deserve. Grace is trying to understand the struggles of another, caring for their needs, sharing their burdens. And we see this grace in the ministry of Jesus over and over again throughout the Gospels. Truth. Truth is a commitment to what God values. Jesus is full of truth, too. He spoke the words that people needed to hear, even if they didn't want to hear them. He was faithful to what he believed and to his mission, even when doing so made the authorities angry. He refused to compromise the message of love, even when he knew that he would lose followers as a result. He spoke truth to power, even though it meant dying on a cross. Jesus was as committed to truth as he was to grace. And when we live a close and connected life like Joseph lived, we become people. Both and people. People of grace and truth. You know, balancing grace and truth in this world is not easy. It's like walking a tightrope, holding on to a long pole to help you keep your balance. And when I looked at that picture and saw what I think is the Empire State Building in the background, I got sweaty palms. To keep our balance, we hold on to the good news of Jesus like an aerialist holding on to a balance pole. On the one side, there is grace, and on the other side, there is truth. And there will be times when, to stay balanced, we have to lean towards grace, and there will be other times when we have to emphasize truth. Jesus would tell us that a good friend is someone who accepts you and believes in you and encourages you. And if that person is a truly good friend, he or she will also tell you when you're failing. A good friend isn't the one who only makes us feel good about who we are, but the one who loves us enough to help us to become better. Sometimes that means speaking words that are difficult. But sometimes, that's what love requires. In the midst of his fear and his anxiety, God's messenger calls Joseph to act with grace and truth. Grace and truth. And God calls you and me as his followers today to find that balance as well. Now, Joseph shows us one more thing about this path of joy that he found by living a close and connected life. A close and connected life is one that is lived with others, in community with others, and also for others. Matthew's Christmas story concludes like this. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but he had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Joseph, knowing God is with him, full of grace and truth, is committed to be with and for Mary. Joseph is with and for Mary for the long months of her pregnancy. He's with and for Mary as they make that long, exhausting journey to Bethlehem. He's with and for Mary when in that out-of-the-way place, she gives birth and wraps her baby in rags and lays him in a feeding trough. He's with and for Mary after Jesus is born. And there's another crisis. He learns of Herod's intention to murder this child. With and for Mary and Jesus as he takes them by night and keeps them as refugees in Egypt until after Herod dies. Whatever your fears today, whatever you may be anxious about, hear the good news. The Savior is born to us, and he brings joy, true and lasting joy. Whatever your circumstances might be, when you walk with him, you can find joy. Joy because you know that Emmanuel, God, is with you. Joy because you trust God to guide you in the way of grace and truth. Joy as you live out your calling to be with others, to be for others, to bless others in Jesus' name. May you know the true joy, the lasting peace that comes to us in Jesus Christ, the Lord.